Hello, this is Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb of VisionarySoul.com, author of The Gift of ADHD and Listening to Depression for the Sweet Spot podcast at PsychJourneyPodcast.com and also at SweetSpotPodcast.com. Tune in weekly to find where your passion meets your purpose. This show is committed to helping you find, embrace, and live in your sweet spot. And today, to help us explore how to do that through writing, I'll be talking with Barbara Abercrombie, who teaches in the writing program at UCLA Extension, and she's the author of novels such as Good Riddance and Run for Your Life, children's books, many essays and articles, and she lives in Santa Monica, California. Today we'll be talking about her most recent book, Courage and Craft, Writing Your Life into Story. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you, Laura.
Well, I'm excited to have you here. I think that... you know, I've heard that like about 80% of people want to write a book, and many of those people are interested in writing about their own life.
Mm-hmm.
And that it also, even if you weren't interested in writing or publishing a book, that writing your life story can be a powerfully healing experience.
I believe that, yes.
Can you tell us what you mean in your subtitle about write your life into story?
Well, it's writing some, the book is really for, I think, two kinds of people who want to write. People who want to write to be published and want a career in writing or want to write a book that's published. And people who simply want to explore and document their lives through writing. So it's how to write about what's happening to you, whether it's in a personal essay, autobiographical fiction or a memoir or an autobiography or poems or even a children's story.
Mm-hmm. And what are the advantages of writing an experience into a story?
Well, there's been a lot of research, actually, about this. And my previous book, which was Writing Out the Storm, was based on workshops I do at the wellness community, which is for people who have cancer or are connected, their lives have somehow been influenced by someone who has had cancer. And I started out the workshop teaching people how to write, like my UCLA class, you know, here is how you write a essay, here is how you write fiction, and giving them general guidelines. And I realized that what they were most interested in was writing about their feelings for therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was astonished doing that in the workshop at how wonderfully people write if you give them, we do 5-minute exercises. I say, I read them a poem or I give them a subject or I say something about my own experiences with cancer and I say, write about it for 5 minutes. And they don't have time to worry or to get literary or to get, you know, nervous about their writing or what people are going to think. And they just write for 5 minutes. And then they read their writing out loud. And the people who have been in the workshop and do this, I realize there's a lot to practicing writing. And they write amazingly honest, wonderful, from the heart stuff. And I think when you write, things come up out of your subconscious that you don't always recognize in your everyday life. So you learn more about yourself, and I think that's the biggest value. You learn about yourself, and also just expressing what, you know, any pain you're having on the page is very releasing.
Yeah, and you know, there's a whole line of research by James Pennebaker that actually writing has dramatic psychological and physical benefits.
Right.
And there was even one study that showed that for people who had problems with asthma, that just writing, not about the asthma, but about something, you know, things that were bothering them,
right,
it even increased their lung capacity.
Yeah, that was fantastic. As a matter of fact, yeah, Pennebaker gave me a blurb for my book. I sent him my book. And, his book really influenced my thinking also.
Yeah, so it's a powerful... Mm-hmm. Even psychology intervention.
Yes.
But I'm also really intrigued and interested in what you say about courage.
Mm-hmm.
tell us what kind of courage does a writer need, and what else you can say about that?
Oh, courage. Well, you know, it's fascinating. First of all, you teach and you write what you need to learn and what you need to read, I think. And I don't find writing easy. I've gone through periods of huge writer's block. And I think I started teaching out of that. I couldn't write, so I was teaching instead. And I realized teaching that everybody is afraid of writing. It's like you write something and you're going, if somebody reads it, you're going to be busted. They're going to say, oh, you can't write, or oh, you're not a good person, or you're an idiot or something. But so my job as a teacher, which has helped my own writing tremendously, is to say all you have to do, you don't have to be literary, you don't have to write anything brilliant, you just have to write something honest and truthful with specific details. And if you can't think, if you're not ready to plunge into your inner life and write something profound, just look out your window. And what are you seeing? And what are you hearing? And what are you, you know, what were the tastes of this morning? So use your senses. And people start to relax into that, I think. It gives them something to write about. And it's also, you know, if your listeners just spent 5 minutes writing what they're seeing and look, you know, what they're looking at, what they're hearing, what their coffee tastes like in this moment, right, for 5 minutes, in another month you look back at that and you have a little piece of your life back. But the courage part is very important to me, because I think more people give up writing because somebody said, oh, I don't understand that, or oh, you didn't write, you know, that's stupid, or you don't know grammar or something. So I think people can certainly start writing on their own, and courage and craft is dedicated to that mostly. But I also think people who want to become writers eventually need to get into a workshop or a class that makes them want to write, that doesn't make them feel judged or stupid, but makes them feel nurtured as a writer. And one of the classes I love to teach most of all at UCLA is writing the personal essay, because every single person has a personal essay to write, and some people have dozens and hundreds, but everybody has at least one. And my students have written just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of essays and gotten them published. Mm. So that's I just believe in that. I'm sort of on my soapbox about everybody writing a personal essay, one short story about their life, at least.
And do you think that part of the courage is not just the fear of not doing it right, but of revealing yourself?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like I think Anne Lamott said, it's like standing under a spotlight with your thighs exposed. It's like, you know, and that's why people get literary and clever, or they try to be somebody else in their writing. But as a teacher, it is such a thrill to get people to a point where they feel safe enough to just write their own truth, and the response to it in class is always, you know, very affirmative, and this is how you could take it further maybe, but, you know, bravo, you've said something really true. And the deeper they go, and the truer, the more honest, the more other people always identify.
Right. And I think of so many times the block is that the deeper we go, the more there's shame. But in
right.
some ways, those are the levels that other people will resonate more to.
Right, and that's the wonderful thing about being a writer. I also write a blog, and I'm writing about all the, you know, the difficulties and the embarrassments of being a writer, and people respond, and they really, you feel a connection to the rest of the world. We're all in this together. You know, we all have things we feel shameful and guilty about, and, you know, we weren't good enough at. And if you write it honestly, other people connect to you, and it helps them, and it gives you a great sense of satisfaction.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And What are the what do you consider to be the, and I don't know if it's just the courage part or if there's more here, the most challenging part of the writing process for the students that you work with?
I think getting started and keeping going. When they first, I'm teaching a class called Courage and Craft this fall, and I teach all levels of classes, but these will be people, like my cat's veterinarian is coming to this class, and they're people who have just always thought, gee, I'd like to write sometime, and so they come to class, and to just get started, because I think it's hard to get started on your own without a book or without a, you know, a class. And so I just ease them into writing. But then the staying at it, keeping at it, because I think part of getting published, if people want to get published, is just sheer stubbornness. You know, it doesn't matter if you're good or bad. You're just going to keep doing it. That's how I approach my writing career now.
Right.
When a class ends, I always say, you know, you've been in this class for 6 weeks or 10 weeks, write out a schedule for the next 10 weeks. I'm not saying you have to write for the rest of your life, but just figure out what you're going to do for the next 10 weeks, and how you're going to further your writing, and they write that out. And then sometimes they come back to class, and sometimes I had one student who went off, and she said, I don't know what I'm writing. I said, well, she said, I think it's a short story. And I said, I think it's a novel. And she came back 10 years later, and she had a novel that was published. So that is such a thrill as a teacher when that happens.
Yeah.
It's like having a baby.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
And what would you say to someone who felt like they, in their heart of heart, were writers of some sort, and but felt that, well, I can't make a living that way. And so they make their living some other way. Is there anything you say to people like that who feel like this is, it's not just even, you know, a healing thing. It's like, this is who and what I am. And, you know, they're just really day-to-day practical concerns about making a living. And,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you say to people like that?
I say to people like that, if you have that feeling in your heart, you have to write. You have to find time. And it's okay if it's half an hour. I mean, whole novels, famous novels have been written because the writer got up an hour early. I have a friend who's just publishing a novel, and he has a full-time job and teaches also at UCLA, and he said, I got up an hour earlier every single morning.
Yeah.
And so it can be done. It is hard. It is hard. Some people say writers should have jobs like laying bricks or something so that you don't have a job that really engrosses you and uses up your creative energy. But I think, you know, and people do, I think people, if they want to be a writer, they think, oh, I don't have the time. I don't have a whole day. You don't need a whole, you know, you need a Saturday. You need a, you know, get up at 5, get up, you know, go to bed at midnight instead. But if it's in your heart to be a writer, you will find the time. And if you write half an hour a day, every single day, think of how many pages you'd have at the end of the year.
Yeah, you'd have a book.
Yeah, you could have a book. You have something. Because I always tell my students, you know, if it's in your, until it's on the page, it's just frou-frou in your head. You know, it's just stuff in your head. But the minute you put something down on the page, no matter how, you know, you can criticize it and think it's no good, but it doesn't matter. It's words on the page, and it's a departure point for you.
And what do you think, as part of teaching it, so now we've moved past, you know, you're working in your class, and so you get people that are making that commitment to writing. What do you think are the 5 characteristics, I know you talk about this in your book, of well-crafted writing?
5 characteristics I talk about in my book. Well-crafted writing is, I think I write about it in the personal essay. Well-crafted writing, first of all, it has to be honest, because if you can craft the daylights out of it, and if it's phony or it won't work. It has to tell a story. Whether it's a novel or a personal essay, it starts at the, you know, there's a starting point, and there's a middle, and there's an ending to it. And the ending can be a profound aha, or it can be a shift in awareness or a understanding of humor. Well crafted piece also has to have the language. I'm a bug about using good plain words and not fancy words, and using more verbs than, you know, I think verbs carry energy, and but I believe when people start writing, they need to forget every single rule about writing or every single guideline, and I think they have to have spend time in their own personal writing where they just let, you know, like keeping a journal. I think that's very important, because you can write and you can use all the awful adjectives you want to use. You can go on and on and on and sound, you know, whiny and everything else. But you need to give yourself some space in your writing to allow that. I don't think I covered all your five things I have in the book.
Yeah.
But.
And what is your take on cliches? And
oh, well, I think, you know, it depends. Sometimes I love it if I'm writing fiction. My characters always speak in one, you know. You give certain cliches to certain characters, and it works. In your own work, you know, you just go through it and you take out the cliches, and the cliches are just tired language. That the problem with cliches, people's eyes just sort of glaze over it. It doesn't jar you into any new awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but all that kind of stuff, the grammatical, the, you know, the errors, the spell, all of that can be, that's a second part of it. And I tell my students there's writing is a two-part process. The first part is creative. You just let it rip. You let it out in any form, that's why I love 5-minute exercises. You don't stop for a second. You keep writing. And then the second part of the writing process is then you let your editor out, that editor in your head who's carping about how, you know, are you doing it right? And you let the editor out, and then you get the spelling and the grammatical errors and all the rest of it. But you can't do both at the same time. And I think that people try to both be creative and edit themselves, and then they just get stuck, and then you can't write at all.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And when someone's trying to write their own memoir, what do you think is the most common mistakes that people make as they kind of move forward with that?
Probably fear of what other people are going to think, what their family is going to think, and will they be sued, and what their mother's going to say, and I get my students to set their own boundaries on that, you know, what they will and won't write about. And we all have, I can't tell them what their boundaries should be. Mm-hmm. I know what mine are. My children and my grandchildren did not come into this world to be writers' children or grandchildren. And so I really respect their privacy. But my second husband married me knowing full well what he was getting into. So he is... I write about him. And in my last book, it was a part memoir, and it was very, very personal. And I called him R in it, because in my journal, I always refer to him as R. And my agent in New York, or my editor, said, that sounds a little old-fashioned. Maybe you could just give him, you know, his name. So I said, well, I think it's up to him, because I thought maybe a slight bit of privacy with his initial, too. So I asked him, I said, do you want to be called Robert or Bob or R in this book? And he thought for a moment, and he said, I want to be called Tom. So I called him R in it. But, and I never write anything that really embarrassed him. But I write very, very honestly about our life together. So, but that is for people who are trying to write about their life. I think they're worried about other people. And the most important thing that they need to realize is that nobody will read it until the writer wants them to read it. And you can always change names if you're worried about being sued and you get published. Publishers have wonderful lawyers who are in charge of this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And as a writer, you're a spy in everybody's life. You know, you're not going to win a popularity contest, except usually if you write something. You know, you don't want to write mean things about anybody anyway. I think good writers are more generous.
Mm-hmm.
And looking for a more, you know, they don't see the world in black and white as much.
Right, right. And do you have any reflections on the relationship I'm sort of curious about between persons, their kind of psychological makeup, and the interaction with the memoir? I've just had some, I went to a writing coach and doing some of my work and some of my own writing, and it was mostly for the work of crafting the writing, and I was amazed at how quickly it seemed to turn into psychotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And does that happen? Do you find that overlap in your work, and how do you understand that, and what's that all about?
Yes, I do, and I always tell my students this is not therapy,
mm-hmm.
but of course it gets very, very close to that. And I'm always telling, and I tell them, I say, you know, you can write a piece that you murdered your husband and chopped him up last night, and the pieces are in the trunk of your car, but you came to class anyway, and we will not comment on your behavior. We will just comment on how you wrote about it. So, people do learn. I mean, they can't help but learn more about themselves and
right.
the feedback from their, that they get on their writing. You do. I think there is a huge connection. But as a writing teacher, I try to just focus on the writing. Let's get back to the writing. Is it working? And that maybe there was more to this relationship with your mother that you might want to explore on the page. So.
Good. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful book, and
Thank you. Again,
it serves both the people who want to be writers, the people who want to find healing through writing. And can you tell our listeners where they can find you and what kind of workshops you offer?
I teach workshops at the Writers Program at UCLA. UCLA Extension. I'm going to be at Dutton's Bookstore next month. I have a website, www.writingtime.net. Writing time, all one word. And what I'm doing and where I'm teaching is always posted on that. And I also respond to there's a place to make comments, and I always respond to the comments too.
And is that where listeners can find your blog that you mentioned?
Yeah, that's the blog. And
okay.
I write in it about once or twice a week. Yes, that's the blog.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah,
yes.
That sounded really interesting. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you, Barbara. It was wonderful talking to you. And I think your book, Courage and Craft, is just a great tool for those who want to get writing.
Oh, thank you, Laura. It's been fun talking to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.